From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This year, 34 million acres of American farmland will produce nothing. The owners of the land are being paid to leave it alone, allowing habitat for duck, pheasant, and other wildlife to return. It's the government's biggest program to protect soil, streams, and wildlife on farms, and this year it accounts for about 8% of all farm subsidies. It's also controversial. Some farmers and others say it hurts the farm economy. And environmentalists say leaving land idle isn't always the best way to help the environment. Dan Charles reports.
The area east of Bismarck, North Dakota, is dotted with little ponds and marshes. Ron Reynolds, who works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, points to one patch of water only about 10 feet across. In it swims a duck.
That little puddle of water is just ideal for the hen to feed in because it's high in invertebrates, because it's real shallow.
Ducks need these wetlands to survive, but they also need good places to hide their nests, fields of tall grass. We come to one, and Reynolds pulls his truck over.
You can see this is really high stuff here. This is intermediate wheatgrass alfalfa primarily. There's some green needle in there and a little bit of brome. But this type of field is especially attractive to nesting ducks.
The grass is left over from last summer, brown and brittle and higher than my waist. Normally, landowners wouldn't grow grass like this and just leave it here. They'd let cattle graze on it or mow it and sell the hay, or plow it up and plant crops. In fact, this used to be a grain field. But then the owner enrolled it in the Conservation Reserve Program. The Department of Agriculture rented it for 10 years just to keep it from being farmed. Reynolds and his colleague Chuck Lesh set out across the field to check on some nests that they found in this field a few days ago. In a few minutes, they find the first one. It's filled with 9 light brown mallard eggs.
The eggs are warm. You can feel the eggs.
This nest, tucked away in a big wide field, is relatively safe from foxes and raccoons and skunks. But until the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, came along, such fields were rare. The only tall grass a duck could find was usually in narrow strips along the edges of wheat fields. And those strips are magnets for predators. 95% of duck eggs laid there get eaten. That's why the CRP has made such a huge difference, Reynolds says.
Now we've got a landscape that can produce ducks again.
The Conservation Reserve Program includes almost 5 million acres of North and South Dakota, an area twice as big as Yellowstone National Park. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service estimates that because of that land, about 2 million additional ducks hatch and grow to adulthood every year.
They're going to migrate out of here. We're going to produce them. And the duck hunter in Louisiana is going to get the benefits of CRP right here in North and South Dakota.
Reynolds can hardly imagine a better use of this land or taxpayer dollars.
As a biologist, this is what you live for, is to see the landscape change from something that was marginal in terms of productivity back to a landscape producing a surplus of wildlife populations.
But a lot of people have mixed feelings about the CRP. For many farmers, when land is productive, it's producing lots of grain, not birds. Turning land over to grass seems like a move backward, a sign of defeat. Some feel it's a little like signing up for welfare, even though in many cases they'd get just as much money in government subsidies for growing crops on that land. Subsidies for growing food seem more acceptable somehow than a check for leaving land idle.
Basically, the perception is you're being paid to do nothing.
Don Teske in Wheaton, Kansas, didn't put any of his land into the CRP when the program started.
I just didn't like the idea of it. I wanted to farm it, you know. And then as the years went on and, the farm economy just kept getting poorer and poorer. And then I finally decided I couldn't afford not to do it.
But when he did put some of his land into the CRP, he remembers the owners of the local hardware store weren't happy, because for every acre that wasn't being farmed, that store sold less fertilizer and fuel. In small towns of North Dakota and western Kansas, where the trains no longer stop, where businesses are closing and all the young people seem to move away, some blame the CRP. Timothy Fowler, director of the Agricultural Research Extension Center in Hettinger, North Dakota, says it really hurt when the Department of Agriculture let people put whole farms into the Conservation Reserve.
Because it essentially allowed people to leave the land. There was a visible impact on this community that I don't think will ever be gained back.
But the Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service concluded in a study released last fall that the CRP had not, on balance, hurt farming communities. While farm-related businesses declined, hunting and fishing expanded, creating new jobs. Michael Hayden, a former governor of Kansas, now director of the state's Department of Wildlife and Parks, agrees.
It is not the root cause of out-migration. It's not the root cause at all. In fact, in many cases, it's kind of the Social Security of agriculture. It has provided income to farmers, stable income to farmers who had highly erodible land to begin with.
But Hayden also says the program could do a much better job of helping the environment. And many other naturalists agree. They say a lot of the program's money is wasted on small fragments of land that don't offer much of a home for wildlife and don't protect streams or rivers. What's more, they say it's not always best just to leave land idle. Take a look, for instance, at this field of CRP land in Coffee County, Kansas, an hour south of Topeka. The grass is tall. It looks healthy. But Bob Culbertson, who works for the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, says the plants here aren't nearly as healthy or diverse as those you find on native prairie that's never been plowed up. That's partly because no cattle have touched the CRP field.
When it's not used, you see a few plants begin to nominate. And we certainly, if you look across here, you see a lot of big blue stem and Indian grass, and that's pretty typical in most of our CRPs here in eastern Kansas.
A native prairie with cattle grazing on it, on the other hand, has hundreds of different plant species. The cattle, like the buffalo before them, eat the tall grass and open up space for clovers and wildflowers. And the result is a better home for birds like prairie chickens and bobwhite quail, although it would not be as good for nesting ducks in North Dakota. So why not let farmers turn a few cattle loose on CRP land, at least in places like eastern Kansas? Robert Harkrader, also with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, says some of the opposition is political.
There are several people that think, well, if the landowner is getting a payment on that, then he shouldn't be allowed to graze it too. That's like having your cake and eating it too.
But the CRP now is starting to allow this, and it seems to be part of a larger trend. There is increasing interest in paying farmers to pursue a kind of agricultural third way. Not growing as much corn as possible, and not leaving whole farms idle, but farming everywhere in ways that protect streams and allow room for wildlife. For NPR News, I'm Dan Charles.
Dan Charles writes more about how the Conservation Reserve Program works at our website, npr.org. Tomorrow on Morning Edition, he looks at how farmers in Europe are embracing green agriculture. This is NPR, National Public Radio.